comes a time in your prime. Didn't you? People called, say beware, dawn. You're bound to fold. You thought they were all just kidding you. You used to laugh about.
All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. We're on the phone with Byron in Canada. Byron, go ahead and continue.
Yeah, well, you know, just some of the things, like, you know, you were talking about Saudi Arabia, and I honestly think that the Saudi royal family are not very good people. But you also know that Trump went to Saudi Arabia after saying that, you know, Saudi Arabia was involved in 9/11, which I don't personally think that they had virtually nothing to do with 9/11, to be honest with you. But, you know, after saying that, and that he was going to ban all the Muslims, he goes over there. You know how much money the old Saudis gave old Trump when he was over there in gifts and stuff? Do you know how much money he got?
No, but you're going to tell me, right, Byron?
Well, it was hundreds of millions of dollars worth of different stuff. I mean, that sword, they said that thing was, I forget how many ounces of solid gold that sword he gave, but it was in the hundreds of millions of dollars that he got in gifts. Now, I realize that he's not supposed to keep it, that it's supposed to go to the United States, whatever. But, I mean, he's such a phony, I guess is the point that I'm trying to make. And then, on top of that, now he's got a son-in-law who's Jewish. In fact, you can look it up for yourself. The Kushners, his father was in jail. He's a felon. And he belongs to the Russian Jewish Mafia. I mean, and Trump was even involved with the Russian Jewish Mafia. In fact, Roy Cohen, not was it Roy, no, I could be wrong, but it's some Cohen. That's when I got him into his gambling. And yet you got guys on your show there that just swear up and down how great Donald Trump is. But the other thing I just want to make a couple of points. Have you read the article by Seymour Hersh? That's been out just the last couple of days.
Probably not, because I've been busy behind the scenes dealing with another issue.
I know you've been, and you sound really beaten. I hope you get all the funding that you need.
Thank you,
Seymour Hersh, which is a pretty. I think he's a pretty honest journalist. I think he's got pretty good credentials. He just came out. You remember when old Trump, he went and bombed Syria, that air base, because he said Bashar, he gassed his own people, gassed the people. You remember that?
Oh, sure.
Go read Seymour Hersh's article on that, where the intelligence officers, they were working hand-in-hand with the Russians and the Syrian army, that they were going to take up some arms depot that United States mercenaries had there. And that's exactly what it is. The United States controls these groups. I mean, you can't deny it that the United States is the funder, training, provider of arms to ISIS, which I don't even know why it's called ISIS, because there's nothing Islamic about it. But anyhow, he said the
Israeli Secret Intelligence Service is what it is.
Well, that's a hell of a lot closer.
Okay, go ahead.
It has nothing to do with Islam. And, you know, I'm jumping around here. The other big thing is, you know, you always have, when there's always a terrorist attack, they always go, well, did they say anything? Meaning, did they say Allah, what did they say, Allah Akbar or whatever the hell it is? You know, and that's something, obviously, they're told to say. Okay, if you do something now, make sure you repeat that phrase. But anyhow, getting back to Seymour Hersh, read his article. I mean, it's complete. And he, you know, United States Intelligence Service, or Army, or whatever it was over there, was working with the Russians and the Syrians. They knew exactly what they were going to hit, where they were going to hit, and everything. And they told Trump there's no chemical weapons. And yet Trump went ahead and came on his BS on TV. Oh, he used chemical weapons. You know, he's an evil.
And he killed babies and all that stuff. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Trump is just as bad as Obama. Obama, through the Amnesty International, said the United States in 2016 gave over $1 billion worth of arms to United States mercenaries, ISIS. And then the year before that, they gave $1 billion, or I don't know if they had to buy it, the Iraqis got $1.5 billion arms to fight ISIS. And then the United States turned around and gave $1 billion worth of arms. In other words, they're funding both sides over there.
Oh.
So, you know, you could say whoever the most evil people, you know, I have to look, and I hate to say it. Hell, I was born in Kansas. I got a lot of relatives there. The United States is the biggest supporter of terrorists in the world.
No, I couldn't agree with you. Byron, I couldn't agree with you more. But listen,
yeah,
man.
Well, anyhow, I hope you reach your goal. I've given several thousand dollars to John in the past, and I'm just... I'm sitting here kind of just on the fence what to do, but...
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, look, I'm just a little guy, okay? And by the way, I want to reach out and say thank you to Pat because we were $10 short of having that listener match. So Patricia, she kicked in the other $10. Thank you, Patricia. And, you know, I collected $400, which is great for me. I thank all the listeners who have done that. And, you know, you say, well, you're sitting on the fence of what to do. And trust me when I tell you, Byron, I'm working diligently behind the scenes, and I'm going to be sitting down with John tomorrow because we don't like doing this. We don't like asking the listeners for money. It's just, you know, kind of getting us over the hump until John and I haven't been had a chance to get together and sit down face to face and look at this stuff, you know, and now we're going to have a chance. So,
well, if you want to make lots of money, do like Alex Jones, switch fences, do a 180-degree turn. And I'm sure you'll get a lot of Jewish.
John will never do that. John will never do that. Neither will I.
Anyhow, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm sorry for being a downer, but...
it's not a downer.
I'll let you go.
All right, thanks, Byron. I appreciate the call. All right, yeah, but, you know, back to this Muammar Gaddafi. I mentioned him in the past article. You know, the Hillary emails truly are the gifts that keep on giving. You know, while France led the proponents of the UN Security Council resolution that would create a no-fly zone in Libya, it claimed that its primary concern was the protection of Libyan civilians. Now, considering the current state of affairs alone, one must rethink the authenticity of this concern. As many conspiracy theorists will claim, one of the real reasons to go to Libya was Gaddafi's planned gold dinar. We all know that. And one of the 3,000 Hillary Clinton emails released by the State Department on New Year's Eve, where real news is sent to die quietly, has revealed evidence that NATO's plot to overthrow Gaddafi was fueled by, first, their desire to quash the gold-backed African currency, and second, the Libyan oil reserves. And the email in question was sent to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton by her unofficial advisor, Sidney Blumenthal, titled France's Client and Gaddafi's Gold. Now, this is out of the Foreign Policy Journal. The email identifies French President Nicolas Sarkozy as leading the attack on Libya with five specific purposes in mind: to obtain the Libyan oil, to ensure French influence in the region, to increase Sarkozy's reputation domestically, to assert French military power, and to prevent Gaddafi's influence in what is considered Francophone Africa. Most astounding is the lengthy section delineating the huge threat that Gaddafi's gold and silver reserves, estimated at 143 tons of gold and a similar amount in silver, posed to the French franc, circulating as the prime African currency. And here is the section of the email proving that NATO had ulterior motives for destroying Libya. It says, update, the link has since been killed, but here is the web catch, or cache. This gold was accumulated prior to the current rebellion and was intended to be used to establish a pan-African currency based on the Libyan golden dinar. This plan was designed to provide the Francophone African countries with an alternative to the French franc. Now, according to knowledgeable individuals, this quantity of gold and silver is valued at more than $7 billion, and French intelligence officers discovered this plan shortly after the current rebellion began, and this was one of the factors that influenced President Nicolas Sarkozy's decision to commit France to the attack on Libya. According to these individuals, Sarkozy's plans are driven, or were driven, by the following issues: a desire to gain a greater share of the Libyan oil production, increasing the French influence in North Africa, improving his internal political situation in France, providing the French military with an opportunity to reassert its position in the world, and to address the concern of his advisors over Gaddafi's long-term plans to supplant France as the dominant power in Francophone Africa, or Francophone Africa, whichever one you want to call it. Ergo, as soon as French intel discovered Gaddafi's dinar plans, they decided to spearhead the campaign against him, having accumulated enough good reasons to take over. Now, sadly, Gaddafi had earlier warned Europe in a prophetic phone conversation with Blair that his fall would prompt the rise of Islamic extremism in the West, a warning that would go unheeded. What's a few lives in France and Libya if the larger goal lines the pockets of politicians and the elite? So much better after all, isn't it? Oh, my gosh. And all of this, folks, and I, you know, this even goes back. I can't help but mention it again. I was listening to John today. I actually came into the studio and I was listening to part of his show. And this thing that's going on in Illinois with these people not being paid after winning the lottery, I mean, can you imagine? And the budgets, and it goes further than that, but these people are, the Illinois government is not being able to, or they're falling short of the money to actually to fulfill the contracts that they have about, you know, infrastructure, you know, roads and bridges and, you know, just keeping the state afloat. And there's how many hundreds of thousands of people that are actually moving out of there? Not to mention what's happening to the pension funds of the state employees. Could this be, and John and I talked about this today, could this be a potential tipping point where people are starting to wise up and go, wait a minute here. They're talking about raising taxes across the board in Illinois. If I were living in Illinois and they wanted to raise taxes on me because of all of this corruption and who knows who's working behind the scenes, Rahm Emanuel, all these other corrupt politicians, and they want to raise taxes on me to try to get back some of the money that they've squirreled away and stolen, I don't know if I'd just be moving out. I might be moving in with a lot more metal of some sort, you know. I'm not going to say what kind of metal it is, but that being said, you know, and is this just the tip of the iceberg? Is this, look at what's happening in California. I'll tell you, folks, I'll share with you just a minute. As I said, I took a trip to California last Wednesday to pick this gentleman up. Now, I have to say, if somebody were coming to rescue me, and I lived in Van Nuys, I've been to California, and you know, the traffic, I would go to a place where the person coming to get me would experience the lightest amount of traffic that they could. Unfortunately, the opposite happened. This gentleman went to a place where I had to drive through massive traffic all the way through Los Angeles to the Sunset Strip in Hollywood, which is the strip, if you will, of everything going on in that town at night, which is wall-to-wall, both directions, traffic. And he's sitting at a bus stop. But what I experienced when I was there, I don't want to call it terrifying, but it was absolutely amazing. I thought I was on a different planet. I was looking at people that had lipstick on and a dress with a beard, and other people walking along, just going, hi, how you doing? You know, people looking at me weirdly. You know, 25, 26, 27-year-old girls that were looking at me and trying to size me up, going, you know, what does this girl want to rob me? Does she want to, you know, solicit me? What is going on here? Weird looks on their faces and just a weird demeanor about them. I felt like I was in the Barnum and Bailey Circus. And then I was talking to John before he left tonight, and he was saying, well, you know, him and Ron McDonald were talking about San Francisco. It's the same thing. He says, I couldn't wait to get out of there and take a shower. What's going on the left coast with these people? Have they been mentally poisoned and destroyed to that point in time? So we've got the state, Illinois, that's literally on the verge of bankruptcy, might even cease to be a state. We've got California that's on the verge of the same thing. Is this like the domino factor? And if that happens, what happens? I don't know. You have to forgive me because I haven't had a lot of sleep, as you know. You know, so I haven't really cognizantly put this together yet until I get a good night's sleep and take a better look at it. You know, then, of course, I'll put a show together on it and report on it further. In the meantime, though, these are the kind of sticking points that I'm looking at. And I'm going, wow, you know, there's something on the horizon here, don't you think? Anyway, that said, let me get back to this. So there was Gaddafi, right? That was what the whole thing was all about. And then we've got, you know, all these little puppets running around, James Comey, Loretta Lynch, and all these people that, you know, they're the real criminals here. Yes, Trump is, you know, been absorbed. He's part of it. He's go along to get along. They've probably threatened his family. I don't know what's going on. But there's something here that I wanted to touch base with, another one I had copied, because, folks, I have to tell you, I didn't put a lot of effort in preparing a show tonight, as you could probably tell. You know, I've been on the road, been tired. But talking about the investigation in the alleged Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, serious questions have been raised about the possibility that former Attorney General Loretta Lynch may have engaged in wrongdoing with regard to the FBI's criminal investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. And these are the three main issues surrounding Lynch's possible misdeeds in that Clinton email probe. One, as we all know, is the Lynch infamous tarmac meeting last June at the Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, in which former President Bill Clinton, the husband of the FBI's main subject in the criminal probe, Hillary's email case, boarded the Attorney General's plane and reportedly stayed there for about 30 minutes for a private chat, talking about his golf game in 115-degree weather. Yeah, right. People don't play golf in Phoenix this time of the year. Trust me on that, folks, because I live there currently. The second concern is Lynch's reported directive for then-FBI Director James Fixer Comey to publicly refer to the FBI's criminal investigation into Clinton's email as a, quote, matter instead of an investigation or a criminal probe. Now, the language matched the specific rhetoric used at the time by Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign, which referred to the criminal investigation as a, quote, matter. Now, the third issue relates to testimony and questions surrounding reports claiming that Comey was in possession of a document purportedly indicating that Lynch would ensure the Clinton email probe didn't go too far. Largely unreported by the news media, these questions surrounding Lynch are so serious that in his testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee this month, Comey conceded that the appointment of a special counsel in the Clinton email case would have been appropriate due to his concerns about Lynch. And referring to Lynch's directive for Comey to call the criminal email probe a, quote, matter, as well as her private tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton, Senate Majority Whip John Cornyn asked the ex-FBI chief the following pointed question, and I quote, "And under Department of Justice and FBI norms, wouldn't it have been appropriate for the Attorney General or, if she had recused herself, which she did not do, for the Deputy Attorney General to appoint a special counsel?" Now, that's essentially what happened now with Director Robert Mueller, Fixer Choker. Would that have been an appropriate step in the Clinton email investigation, in your opinion? "Yes, certainly a possible step," replied Comey. "Yes, sir." And in testimony in May, Comey expressed his concern that the Justice Department leadership could not credibly complete the investigation and declined prosecution without grievous damage to the American people's confidence in the justice system. In a tweet on last Thursday, President Trump brought up the issue of possible obstruction with Lynch's tarmac episode. And I quote this, "Crooked Hillary destroyed phones with a hammer, bleached emails, and had husband meet with Attorney General days before she was cleared, and they want to talk about obstruction?" Now that was dated 15th of June, 2017. So the tarmac meeting was first reported by a local ABC affiliate in Phoenix, which asked Lynch about the incident at a pre-scheduled news conference at the Phoenix Police Department. I'll get on with this when we get back. We're taking a break. It's 20 after the hour. Phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. See you on the other side.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Phone lines are open throughout the program tonight, 800-313-9443. And I want to thank everybody again, especially the donor that wanted to match or that said he'd match any donations we got right now up to $200. I'm not sure whether, I guess yes, it was a man. Bob, thank you, Bob, because we collected that and I will be thrilled to go home and, go to where I'm staying and tell John that I was able to do that and, maybe he'll blow up the air mattress tonight and have me sleep in the air mattress instead of on the floor. I don't know. Let's see. Anyway, getting back to, he'll actually go outside and blow up the air mattress. Yay. Anyway, getting back to this interview. Lynch had confirmed to ABC 15 News in Phoenix that she did see President Clinton at the Phoenix airport as he was leaving and spoke to myself and my husband on the plane. And the local station quoted sources saying the meeting lasted about 30 minutes. And, of course, Lynch claimed that there was no discussion of State Department emails, honk, honk, or any other matter pending before the Justice Department. She maintained that the conversation was a great deal about the grandchildren in it, primarily social and about our travels, and he mentioned golf that he played in Phoenix. I doubt that seriously. I really do. The tarmac meeting was first revealed by ABC 15's Christopher Sein, who said that he was tipped off about the event by a trusted source. And the sign described a scene in which the FBI reportedly asked people at the tarmac not to take photographs. The FBI, there on the tarmac, instructed everybody, no photos, no pictures, no cell phones, sign stated. The Obama White House postured to explain the meeting. Following the disclosure of the tarmac episode, President Obama's press secretary Josh Earnest felt the need to iterate Obama's stated commitment to avoid political interference in Justice Department investigations. And Judicial Watch raised the possibility of ethical and legal problems for Lynch. You think? Attorney General Lynch's meeting with President Clinton creates the appearance of a violation of law. Well, really. Ethical standards and good judgment, the conservative government watchdog group said in a statement. Attorney General Lynch's decision to breach the well-defined ethical standards of the Department of Justice and the American legal profession is an outrageous abuse of the public's trust, which is an understatement as far as I'm concerned. Her conduct and statements undermine confidence in her ability to objectively investigate and prosecute possible violations of law associated with President Clinton and Secretary Clinton. And the New York Times, in April, first reported that the tarmac incident solidified Comey's decision to go rogue, bypass the Justice Department, and violate FBI tradition by holding a July 5, 2016 press conference to make conclusions on the Clinton email case. At the gripping press event, which took place in the heart of the presidential campaign, Comey criticized Clinton's private email server as, well, extremely careless, before finally stating that no charges are appropriate in this case. Comey was widely criticized, as we know, for going rogue instead of failing to seek Lynch's recusal on the Clinton case. And his actions were cited in a letter from Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein recommending that Comey be fired, which, as we know, later, he was. In his Senate testimony this month, Comey confirmed Lynch's tarmac meeting with Clinton and capped his decision to make public the results of the FBI probe into Clinton's emails. And referring to the tarmac meet, Comey stated, in an ultimately conclusive way, "That's the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation, which meant both the FBI and the Justice Department. Oh, really? Comey, the fixer, folks, had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation. Give me a break. Gag me with a spoon and otherwise. But let's go to the matter, if we will. The statement that the tarmac meeting served as a cap to Comey's decision to bypass Lynch's Justice Department in the email investigation indicates that Comey had other concerns about Lynch. Indeed, in the same hearing, the next question posed to him by Republican Senator Richard Burr, the chair of the state's Senate Intelligence Committee, focused precisely on that question. I'll get to that question after the break. Stick around, more to come. See you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Nutramedicals Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Give me a call. Let me know if you think I'm talking too slow or if my brain's not functioning correctly. Anyway, getting back to this, yes, in the same hearing, the next question posed to him by Republican Senator Richard Burr, the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, focused precisely on that. He said, were there other things, Comey, that contributed to that, that you can describe in an open session? Burr asked him, and Comey replied, well, there were other things that contributed to that. One significant item, I can't. I know the committee's been briefed on it. There's been public accounts of it, which are nonsense, but I understand the committee has been briefed on the classified facts. The only other consideration I can talk about in an open session, she told me to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me. But that was one of the bricks in the load that led me to conclude I have to step away from the department if we're to close this case credibly. Step away from the department? What's he talking about? He has to step away? It concerned him? Is he throwing the onus on her? Okay, Loretta Lynch. And in stepping away, he didn't step away, he got fired. Well, let's continue. Comey's one significant item seems to be a clear reference to the issue of a reported document allegedly indicating Lynch would interfere in the email probe to ensure it didn't go too far. And meanwhile, Comey's admission that Lynch told me to call it a matter, a directive that confused and concerned him, serves as a significant public accusation against Lynch, possibly highlighting her intentions in the email probe. It is instrumental to recall that at the time, Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign not only referred to the criminal email probe as a matter, Clinton's official campaign website claimed the investigation was not a criminal inquiry. And Lynch allegedly issued the matter directive to Comey despite the Justice Department knowing the FBI probe was not only an official investigation, but a criminal probe. And in spite of Comey's stated concerns, he did call the investigation a matter in his public statements about the Clinton email case. The alleged Lynch directive was first revealed in the same extensive April 22nd report in the New York Times. The Times reported on a meeting between FBI and justice officials at which, according to the newspaper's characterization, Lynch told him, Comey I'm talking about, to be even more circumspect. Do not even call it an investigation, she said, according to three people who attended the meeting. Call it a matter. And the Times report continued. Ms. Lynch reasoned that the word investigation would raise other questions. What charges were being investigated? Who was the target? But most important, she believed that the department should stick by its policy of not confirming investigations. It was a by-the-book decision, but Mr. Comey and other FBI officials regarded it as disingenuous in an investigation that was so widely known. And Mr. Comey was concerned that a Democratic attorney general was asking him to be misleading and line up his talking points with Mrs. Clinton's campaign, according to people who spoke with him afterward. As the meeting broke up, George Z. Toscas, a national security prosecutor, ribbed Mr. Comey, and he said, "I guess you're the Federal Bureau of Matters now," unquote. Mr. Toscas said, and this is according to two people that were there and overheard them. I think that's kind of funny. "I guess you're the Federal Bureau of Matters now." Even though Comey reportedly had concerns about Lynch's motivations, he went along and did not call it a criminal investigation. "I am confident we have the resources and the personnel assigned to the matter," Comey stated mere days after the meeting with Lynch. Further raising questions about Lynch in his Senate testimony this month, Comey lobbed a serious accusation about Lynch's intention in the ordeal. He stated, and again, "I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but it gave the impression that the Attorney General was looking to align the way we talked about our work with the way a political campaign was describing the same activity, which was inaccurate. We had a criminal investigation open with, as I said before, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We had an investigation open at the time, and so that gave me a queasy feeling," according to Comey. Comey can feel queasy? Maybe you should just go play with, what's his name, Howdy Doody. Senator Dianne Feinstein, believe it or not, the top Democrat on the Senate's Judiciary Committee, commented on the seriousness of the alleged Lynch matter directive, speaking this past Sunday on CNN's State of the Union. She said, "I would have a queasy feeling too, though, to be candid with you," she told CNN about the issue, "I think we need to know more about that, and there's only one way to know about that, and that's to have the Judiciary Committee take a look at that." "I agree, Senator Feinstein, and I don't agree with you on much." On Wednesday, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, Republican from Iowa, sent Feinstein a letter formally requesting that the committee probe any attempts to influence the FBI's investigation under the Trump and Obama administrations. It is not immediately clear whether the Judiciary Committee has taken any action on the matter. At a Tuesday press conference, Senate Minority Leader Chuckie Schumer, little Chuckie, Democrat from New York, as you all know, stated that he wants to hear what Loretta Lynch's side of the story is before making any moves regarding Lynch. However, at a House Judiciary Committee hearing on Thursday, Representative Jim Jordan, the representative or the Republican from Ohio, grilled the acting Deputy Assistant Attorney General Richard Downing about Lynch's alleged matter directive. Mr. Comey testified that former AG Attorney General Loretta Lynch told him to, when he discussed the Clinton investigation, to call it a matter, not an investigation, Jordan explained. So, do you agree with that decision that was made? And Downing replied, I don't have an opinion one way or the other on that. Do you think it was wise for the Justice Department to mislead the American people? Jordan shot back. Of course, the Justice Department should do its best not to mislead anyone, Downing retorted. I think what the American people would appreciate is their highest officials at the DOJ should be straight with the American people, Jordan added during the course of the exchange. And that did not happen. You think? When does it ever happen? That's my question. The issue of a possible document implicating Lynch is shrouded in conflicting news media reports and testimony implying what the matter has been presented in closed session before the Senate Intelligence Committee. You know those closed sessions, folks, which we don't get to see, which that's where the real truth comes out, and all the backslapping, glad-handed people are talking about what's really going on and covering for each other. You know, that closed session. The alleged document was first reported by the New York Times in the same extensive April report on Comey. And according to that report, the FBI possessed information that the alleged Lynch document had been hacked by Russian intelligence. Hardy, har, har. Leading Comey to fear that Moscow could leak the document to call into question the independence of the Clinton email probe. The newspaper described a document written by the Democratic operative that seemed, at least in the eyes of Mr. Comey and his aides, to raise questions about Lynch's independence. And the newspaper further described the reported document during Russia's hacking campaign against the United States, the big farce, you know. Intelligence agencies could peer at times into Russian networks to see what had been taken. And early last year, FBI agents received a batch of hacked documents, and one caught their attention. The document, in which had been described as both a memo and an email, was written by a Democratic operative who expressed confidence that Ms. Lynch would keep the Clinton investigation from going too far, according to several former officials familiar with the document. Now, read one way, it was standard Washington political chatter. Read another way, it suggested that the political operative might have insight into Mrs. Lynch's thinking. And while he was still FBI director, Comey was asked at a Senate hearing on FBI oversight in May about the purported Lynch document, and he refused to publicly address the matter, explaining it was an issue for a classified setting and not for a public hearing. In other words, the people can't know the truth about that. I'll tell you all about it behind closed doors, and we can shake hands and slap each other on the back and laugh about it, but we can't tell this to the American people. They're going to know what crooks we are. Continuing on. After the issue of the purported document was raised at that hearing, the Washington Post released a story with an entirely different narrative on the alleged document. According to the Post report, the document, reportedly central to Comey's actions on the Clinton email probe, was assessed by Comey's own FBI to be unreliable and possibly fake. Why do I have to laugh when this guy, anytime this guy takes the scene? Comey seems to have pushed back against the Post report when he stated in his testimony this month, also referred to early in this article, one significant item I know the committee's been briefed on. There's been public accounts of it which are nonsense, but I understand the committee has been briefed on the classified facts. Behind closed doors, so the American people can't hear it, of course, but they've been briefed on it nonetheless. I'm sorry. As Senator Lindsey Graham, who would have been present for classified testimony on the Russia probe, had publicly stated that he doubted the purported Lynch document was fake. Regarding the Post story on the alleged document, Graham stated on Face the Nation, he said, I saw the Washington Post story. I doubt if it's fake. Maybe it is, but I don't want to be briefed by myself. I want Democrats and Republicans on the judiciary to be briefed together. Our committee has been together, and we're going to stay together. We're going to stay behind those closed doors. We're going to slap each other on the back, shake each other's hand, and laugh about the whole thing, because the American public ain't going to hear anything about it. So there, take that. Graham further discussed the alleged document. This should be interesting. Hold on a minute. I'm getting punchy now, folks. It's getting late. I'm in the 38th hour. Sorry about that, Mike.
And I want Comey to come to our committee because I know on two separate occasions he has told members of the House and the Senate that the main reason he jumped into the election last year and took over the job of Attorney General is because he believed there were emails between the Democratic National Committee and the Department of Justice that compromised the Department of Justice, and he thought the Russians were going to release those emails. And that's why he jumped in and took over Loretta Lynch's job. I want to know, is that true? Well, according to the Post's account, the document in question was not a note written by a Democratic operative, but Lynch's alleged loyalties to Clinton, as the Times reported. Instead, the Post claimed the memo was a Russian intelligence document that itself quoted secondhand from a purported email describing how Lynch told someone within the Clinton campaign that she would help to ensure that the Clinton email probe did not go too far. Now, the document, according to the Post, cited an email said to have been written by Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Oh, remember her. You know, all those lawyers that die in her district. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the one that threatened the chief of police down there in Florida about releasing all those computers that had all that stuff on it, right? Who at the time was the chair of the Democratic National Committee. The alleged correspondent cited that the purported document was sent by Schultz to Leonard Bernardo, who worked at billionaire George Soros' Open Society Foundation. See how all these people are in cahoots together? Oh, I'm telling you, I'm punchy, but it still makes me laugh. The Post reported that the alleged Russian intelligence document merely cited some of the contents of the reported Wasserman Schultz email to Bernardo, but did not actually contain a copy of the alleged message. I see. Okay. According to the Post's characterization of the alleged document, Wasserman Schultz claims Lynch had been in a private communication with a senior Clinton campaign staffer named Amanda Renteria during the campaign. The document indicated Lynch had told Renteria that she would not let the FBI investigation into Clinton go too far, according to the people familiar with it. Contacted by the Post, Wasserman Schultz and Bernardo both said they do not know each other and have never communicated. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Wasserman Schultz, Bernardo, and Renteria told the Post that they were never interviewed by the FBI on the matter. And the Post claimed that the FBI provided Lynch with a defensive briefing on the alleged document in which she was reportedly cooperative, in contrast to a report from This Week describing a very different kind of meeting with Lynch. And the Post reported, about a month after Comey's announcement, FBI officials asked to meet privately with the Attorney General. And at the meeting, they told Lynch about a foreign source, suggesting she told Renteria that Clinton did not have to worry about the email probe because she would keep the FBI in check, according to the people familiar with the matter. Remember, it's a matter, it's not an investigation. Yes, got to keep that clear. So, just so you know, I don't know this person and have never communicated with her. Now, this is what Lynch told the FBI officials. According to a person familiar with the discussion, the FBI officials assured her that conversation was not a formal interview and said the document didn't have an investigative value. That person said, anonymous source, yay, another one of those people. Nevertheless, the officials said they wanted to give the Attorney General what is sometimes referred to as a defensive briefing, advising someone of a potential intelligence issue that could come up at a future point. I see. Adding further intrigue to the Lynch document issue this week, CIRSA cited sources who were directly briefed on the matter, revealing that Comey briefed Congress on a frosty exchange that he says he had with Lynch centering on the purported document. And CIRSA's John Solomon at Sarah A. Carter reported, during the investigation, Comey told lawmakers he confronted Lynch with a highly sensitive piece of evidence, a communication between two political figures that suggested Lynch had agreed to put the kibosh on any prosecution of Clinton. Comey said, the Attorney General looked at the document, then looked up with a steely silence that lasted for some time, and then asked him if he had any other business with her, and if not, that he should leave her office, said one source who was briefed. Comey took that interaction and the fact that she had met with Bill Clinton as enough reason to decide he would not allow the Justice Department to decide the fate of the case and instead would go public with his own assessment that the FBI could not prove Mrs. Clinton intended to violate the law when she transmitted classified information through her private email and therefore showed they could not be criminally charged. Well, now remember, Feinstein, of whom I don't agree with very often, but in this case I do, Feinstein has called for an inquiry into why former Attorney General Loretta Lynch directed then FBI Director Comey to refer to the Clinton email investigation as a matter. Now, let us think about this for a moment. Loretta Lynch, who worked at that law firm that I believe did their taxes and Clinton appointed her somewhere, I can't remember right now because my brain cells aren't firing functionally properly, but somewhere he appointed her as something, okay? And it's been a long-going relationship for a long time. Now, I want to remember what that is after I've slept, folks, but not right now, okay? Just, you know, hang with me for a bit. Anyway, Bill Clinton appointed her, and all these people, you know, Susan Rice and, what is the other one? Oh, Cheryl Mills and all these people, they all worked at the same law firm, and they were all in cahoots together, and they were all hired by the Clintons. They all do all this stuff, and they all cover for each other. And the classified meetings behind their back and backslapping and the this and the that and the laughing and the agreements that are made, but the public gets to hear nothing about it because they're all crooks. That's why. We'll be back with the final segment. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. See you on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment of The American Awakening. Thank God. I am so exhausted. 38 hours now without sleep. Yes, it probably sounds like it. I'm getting punchy. Mike's over laughing at me. Thank you for the callers. Thank you for the donations. I will take a phone call, 800-313-9443, if you want to, you know, squeeze one in. But anyway, I always want to go into blacklisted news and check out what my buddy Doug Owen has posted. Doug, if you're listening, I'm in town. Doug lives here in Round Rock, and he said when I get to town, he wants to take me to dinner. I think that's what he said. Maybe he said he wants me to take him to dinner. At any rate, probably give him a call tomorrow or the next day. But I want to, Sean, take the last few minutes and share this with you. This is out of blacklisted news out of the Washington blog. Did you know that a top U.S. missile and chemical weapons expert has documented for months that the Syrian government did not carry out a chemical weapons attack against civilians? Did you know that? And that contrary claims by the Trump White House, the French Intelligence Service, and the New York Times and CNN and other mainstream sources are wrong and worthless propaganda. Former top military and intelligence officials, including many of who warned against the faulty Iraq intelligence in advance of the Iraq war, have long said that the claims that Assad carried out the chemical weapons attacks was a bunkum. The Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter Seymour Hersh, which was just mentioned to me a little while ago earlier in the show, who broke the stories of the My Lai massacre in Vietnam and the Iraq prison torture scandals, which rightfully disgraced the Nixon and Bush administration's war-fighting tactics, reported yesterday in the large German publication Weld that the U.S. military officials tried to tell Trump that a chemical weapons attack never occurred at all. And on April 6, United States President Donald Trump authorized an early morning Tomahawk missile strike on the Sharat Air Base in central Syria in retaliation for what he said was a deadly nerve agent attack carried out by the Syrian government 2 days earlier in the rebel town of Khan Sheikhoun. Trump issued the order despite having been warned by the U.S. Intelligence Committee that it had found no evidence that the Syrians had used a chemical weapon. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it, folks? Whose side is he on? What game is he playing? Who's threatened him? Has he been threatened at all? Was he playing to begin with? Were we set up? So many questions and so few answers. The available intelligence made clear that the Syrians had targeted a jihadist meeting site on April 4th using a Russian-supplied guided bomb equipped with conventional explosives. And details of the attack, including information on its so-called high-value targets, had been provided by the Russians days in advance to American and allied military officials in Doha, whose mission is to coordinate all U.S., allied, Syrian, and Russian Air Force operations in the region. Like I said, makes you wonder, doesn't it? Time will tell, folks. Listen, once again, I'm tired. I thank you for listening. I want to ask you once again, pick up the phone, dial 800-724-2719, extension 3. Keep Mike here longer than 11 o'clock because he's supposed to go home. Or just go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, click the PayPal button, and make a donation. I appreciate it, folks, and I appreciate all those who donated tonight. And I appreciate Bob, who kicked in a couple hundred bucks. It'll make John very happy, and I get to go home and tell him. See you tomorrow, folks, hopefully with a few more brain cells ticking. Good night.
With doubt, there's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.